Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're looking at the last of the nine items mentioned by Prahlad Maharaj of pure devotional service, Srimad Bhagavatam 7.5.23-24. We're looking at Saranagati and Atmanivedanam. And we distinguish Saranagati. There is the sense that the Lord is my Supreme Master. Atmanivedanam, the mood that one offers one's body and everything to the personality of Godhead and considers one's body to be the possession of the Lord. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, in order to explain Saranagati, he gives an example in his Sri Gaudiya Kantaha about what is not Saranagati, or what happens when there is no Saranagati. And he quotes the Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, 9, 6. O my Lord, the people of the world are embarrassed by all material anxieties. They're always afraid. They always try to protect wealth, body and friends. They are filled with lamentation and unlawful desires and paraphernalia. And they avariciously base their undertakings on the perishable conceptions of my and mine. As long as they do not take shelter of your lotus feet, your safe lotus feet, they are full of such anxieties. So, and in this verse, Srila Prabhupada sums up in his purport, a pure devotee of the Lord never thinks of himself as the proprietor of his home. He surrenders everything unto the supreme control of the Lord, and thus he has no fear for maintaining his family or protecting the interest of his family. Right, so that's an example of, when there's no sense of saranagati or surrender. In a letter to Umapati in L.A., Srila Prabhupada, 1968, he wrote to her that to serve Krishna more nicely is better for our own interests. Krishna is not in need of our service, but if we sacrifice everything for Krishna, that is for our good. You should always remember this maxim. In a letter to Hrishikesh, again 1968, Prabhupada says, he's discussing this point of surrender. When we keep our association with Krishna, every activity is proper and liberating. But if we should disassociate ourselves from the Lord's mercy, then like a hand which is severed from the body, we become ugly and useless. So so many different nice, you know, Prabhupada encouraged his disciples and followers. So of course, you know, Atmanivedanam, and the Saranagati, accepting the Lord as their master, we give up all attachment to everything. So then sometimes if one is very attached to something related to Krishna, one may think, oh, I should not be attached to anything, even in serving Krishna. So here's a nice letter from Prabhupada to Jayapataka Maharaj. 1972. He says, your liking of engagement there, Mayapur Center, is not at all an inappropriate attachment. Rather, it is your qualification for pleasing your spiritual master. Attachment must be there for Krishna or for Maya. So you have become attached to developing the Mayapur Center, that is Krishna's work. So Krishna appreciates very much when his devotee becomes attached to him in this way. He says, therefore, you are successful and the work is going on quickly to completion. That is because all of you are working there have become very much attached to the dust from Lord Chaitanya's lotus feet, and because you've got such deep personal interest with that engagement of work, you want to see that it is done nicely without any hindrance of selfish motivation. Never mind all kinds of conditions of this material nature. That idea has become prominent for all of you. It is bigger than Maya's idea. Therefore, Maya cannot interfere to make you quarrel or other things. But you especially are to take the credit. From the very beginning, you wanted that place and you got the land, got money from me, and now you have built the place by your concentration of energy. That is wanted. If there is some discrepancy anywhere, some non-cooperation, fighting, or if the work is slow or not to the standard, it is to be supposed that the person or persons in charge are not very much attached to Krishna. That means they will discriminate. My engagement is not good, others' engagement is good, like that. They do not know the secret of surrendering to Krishna. Such surrendered devotees see that everything is part of Krishna's plan, that whatever is meant to be, I am doing that, so let me do it with my full attention to every detail. Let me become absorbed in such service, never mind what it is. But let all other considerations be forgotten, and only my desire to do the thing best for Krishna's alone pleasure be my motive. That is advanced stage of understanding devotional service of Krishna consciousness. Thank you very much for your kindly coming to the point. So there, a very nice letter. Srila Prabhupada indicating the Atmanivedanam, the full surrender of Jayapataka Maharaj and others. He also, you know, commends Jayapataka Maharaj for being the person in charge, and you know, that, and someone who has pushed Prabhupada's plan from the very beginning. Um, he says he's you know giving great credit to Jaivataka Maharaj because they were all working together in a cooperative spirit, and so he gives that credit to Jaivataka Maharaj. He says that because he points out that if there's some discrepancy anywhere, some non-cooperation, fighting, or the work is slow or not to the standard, it is supposed to be that the person or persons in charge are not very much attached to Krishna. And it says, that means they will discriminate. My engagement is not good, others' engagement is good, like that. They do not know the secret of surrendering to Krishna. So again, you know, Prabhupada is pointing out the difference between surrender and not surrender. When the surrender is there, one does not become envious of, you know, especially those in charge, should not become envious of other persons and disrupt what should be done for the Lord. And he's giving credit to Jaivataka Maharaj that they've worked cooperatively. So that indicates that Jaivataka Maharaj is very attached to Krishna. Because Jaivataka Maharaj is very attached to Krishna, he's making sure that there's cooperation and everything is done nicely. Someone who doesn't have that level of attachment, whether they be in charge or following, if there's some discrepancy, they will actually let that affect the work. But a person very attached, just like Arjun was on the battle of Kurukshetra. At the end of the day, at the end of 18 days, he had to come home with a victory. There's no question of, someone's not pulling their weight, or, you know, they're getting more glory than me, or, you know, the other side is doing this, or there's so many discrepancies. No, at the end of the day, Arjun has to come home with the victory. That's his attachment to Krishna. If he comes home with a bunch of excuses, and, oh, there's this one and that one, and then it's a level of his attachment. Hare Krishna. Yeah. No, tomorrow I can't. I can do it another day. What about Monday? Monday evening? Mm-hmm. Sunday I won't. No, not possible. Yeah, that's fine. Thanks. So, you know, it's very interesting because it's not because someone gets a position that's necessarily the sign that the person is fully surrendered. You know, Prabhupada is, you know, defining surrender as a person who's very much attached to fulfilling Krishna's happiness, that something actually gets done. Devotees are not driven away, they're actually attracted. Prasadam is not just cooked, but people are attracted to it. People are trained up and they stay and progress. Not just an artificial, you know, stamp. of officiality. Hare Krishna. Yeah, that's fine. You just text me the address and the time you want and I'll be there. Thank you. Now, so let's go back to Arjuna, because Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakura again, describing in order to help us understand, you know, Saranagati, surrender, and Atmanivedanam, where one considers oneself and everything to be the property of the Lord. He gives this example from Bhagavad Gita 2.7. Karpanya dosa bahata sabhavaha pachamitam dhamasa mudu chitaha yasprayasyan nishtitan bruitan me sushaste ham sarimam tvam prapanam. Now I'm confused about my duty and have lost all composure because of miserly weakness. In this condition, I'm asking you to tell me clearly for certain what is best for me. Now I'm your disciple and a soul surrenderer unto you. Please instruct me. You see that within Arjuna, in the beginning, as Prabhupada says, Arjuna was saying no. And Prabhupada says, what's the difference between, you know, when before Arjuna heard the Gita and after Arjuna had heard the Gita? Prabhupada says in the beginning, he says no, and in the end he says yes. So at this point he's saying no. Why is that? Because there's a miserly weakness, the kripanaha, not the surrendered mood to Krishna, but the miserly, you know, what about my, profit and loss, my happiness and distress like that. And and if we don't surrender, then there cannot be any auspiciousness. And that's also shown in that verse we quoted, 2.7, Bhagavad Gita 2.7, Arjuna. And this one also, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta quotes from Bhagavad Gita 7.14. Devi hesu gunamai mama maya dracaya mama evie prapadyante mayami tamtarantite. This divine energy of mind consisting of the three modes of material nature is difficult to overcome. But those who have surrendered unto me can easily cross beyond it. So, without surrender, there can be no auspiciousness. One is simply overcome by the modes of material nature. And as Krishna says in the 18th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, these three modes of material nature are throughout all of the universe, even amongst the demigods and personalities in the upper high planetary systems. They are all, you know, to the degree of the lack of full surrender, they are also influenced by the modes of material nature, even in the higher planets. Bhagavad Gita 18.40, the Lord says, there is no being existing either here or among the demigods in the higher planets which is freed from the three modes of material nature. The only way you can escape it is through surrender. So, And you know, what is that surrender? Prabhupada gives a very nice definition. He wrote a letter to Yashoda Lala in 1976. He said, "The only way that we can overcome Maya is by seriously and sincerely taking shelter of Krishna." He quotes that verse from Bhagavad Gita 7:14. And then says, "So chant very sincerely and follow the four regulative principles strictly, and very soon you will be able to find shelter from the miseries of material attachment." So that's what Prabhupada considers surrender. 16 nice rounds, sincerely done, strictly following the four regulative principles. That's surrender. One may, you know, question, you know, how do we fulfill that verse, Bhagavad Gita 7:14? Exactly like that. Sincere chanting and follow the four regular principles strictly. Very simple. Yep. So, you know, this... So what we're seeing is this, you know, surrender to the Lord, whether, you know, the saranagati of seeing the Lord as our master, and everything is meant for His enjoyment, you know, atmanivedanam, literally offering our body to the Lord in that mood of, you know, our body, our words, our actions, our thoughts, our possessions. Seeing them all as the possession of Krishna. They are all yours. You enjoy. The difference between... as soon as we consider something our body, that is for my enjoyment, this body, the possessions, something, then that is the distinction, and then the surrender stops at that point. And so there are many verses, you know, that indicate that. We've also quoted that verse a few times from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhyalila, chapter 22, verse 102, you know, which does refer to how Krishna accepts a person, especially at the time of initiation, and, you know, that when a devotee thus fully surrenders under Krishna's lotus feet, Krishna accepts him as one of his confidential associates. You know, so that initiation also... under the bona fide guru is a very, very big step of surrender to the Lord. And the Lord reciprocates with that. And then that initiation of the surrendering process becomes more complete when one actually, you know, very sincerely chants the prescribed rounds one has been given, you know, following strictly the four regulative principles. So that may increase and increase, and one's level of surrender may increase and increase. So, here in the Chaitanya Charitamrita Anchalila, chapter 4, verse 192, a similar thing is said. At the time of initiation, when a devotee fully surrenders unto the service of the Lord, Krishna accepts him to be as good as himself. next verse, when the devotee's body is thus transformed into spiritual existence, the devotee in that transcendental body renders service to the lotus feet of the Lord. See? So the body becomes spiritualized. Through that process of initiation, because Krishna accepts that body of the devotee, it is now his possession. You know, something that's in the possession of Krishna is completely spiritual. It's being used in a spiritual way. It's acting in a spiritual way. See? If you surrender your body to Krishna at the time of initiation, and Krishna utilizes your body as an instrument in his sankirtan movement, then it's spiritual, isn't it? Whatever Krishna is using for something for his transcendental purposes is therefore considered spiritual. So it becomes spiritualized, as Prabhupada says, like putting the iron rod in the fire. It no longer acts, it's still an iron rod, but it acts like fire. So it's still made of the material elements, but it acts like a spiritual body, Satchitananda. Then, you know, on that although we're discussing, Atmanavedanam, this, very close relationship with this saranagati, this full surrender. There's no question of Atmanavedanam offering one's body, mind and words to Krishna unless one considers Krishna to be the master of one's life, which is saranagati. And there are six kinds of full surrender, saranagati. That is mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's also mentioned, as we know, in the Nectar of Instruction. And Kulyasya Sankalpa Patikulyasya Vajinam Rakshishyatiti Vishvaso Kapritvevaranam Tata Atman Kshipa Karpanya Sadvida Saranagati. And there's that word Vishvaso. Remember, we looked at that, for friendship, that it's like it's a more advanced stage of Shraddha, with faith. It's a very mature, strong faith, Vishvaso. Strong conviction. So that word again, there used in relationship to Sakyam, is now in this verse used in relationship to Saranagati. The six divisions of surrender are the acceptance of those things favourable to devotional service, the rejection of unfavourable things, the conviction that Krishna will give protection, the acceptance of the Lord as one's guardian or master, full self-surrender, and humility. So here we see this word, Atma Nikshepa. Full self-surrender. And there we see that this Atmanavedanam, or Atma Nikshepa, is included within Saranagati as one of the six items. Surrendering, full self-surrender. Atma can be one's body, one's mind, one's intelligence, the soul. Everything. That much, yeah. Prabhupada finds it also there, and we often hear it said, that fifth one, that self-surrender means remembering that one's activities and desires are not independent. The devotee is completely dependent on Krishna, and he acts and thinks as Krishna desires. So We're not keeping anything independent from Krishna. We're always keeping everything is our desires are not independent of Krishna, that we will do this. Krishna wants us to do that, but we independently have some other desires. Our possessions are not independent. Our body is not independent, like that. And everything is surrendered to Krishna. That's how always being dependent upon the Lord is another way to say that. Just read those again. Accepting everything favourable to devotional service, rejecting the unfavourable things, the conviction that Krishna will always give protection, the acceptance of the Lord as one's guardian and master, that he will, you know, he will always, you know, no one else. There's not, we're not being protected by demigods. You know, this person or that person. Only Krishna is protecting us. You know, therefore, you know, one of the things I've had a lot of difficulty with over the years is because I'm an astrologer, then people assume that therefore I'm I don't depend on Krishna, or I'm teaching people not to depend on Krishna. And my answer to that is then, so don't go to an astrologer, don't go to a doctor, don't go to a mechanic when your brakes are failing, don't go to a dentist.
Just depend on Krishna.
That's exactly the same thing. So, you know, I've for nearly 40 years I've tried to, you know, explain that point to devotees, you know, and with great difficulty. It's only now, you know, really in the last few years in this kind of sort of, you know, astrology has been accepted. But otherwise, you know, basically I've just been considered a, you know, an independent rascal for following a Brahminical profession as a devotee. Everyone tells you to follow a Brahminical profession as a devotee. When you do it, they call you a rascal. It's a good thing about ISKCON. It always keeps you humble. So,
in general, no matter what you do, somebody's always there to call you a rascal.
That's exactly right. You've learnt well.
If you do it, they call you a rascal. If you don't do it, they call you a rascal.
That's right.
ISKCON is very good about that.
My favourite is when they, you know, someone falsely accuses you of something, and then at the end they say, and you're also not humble. That means as soon as you try to refute what they've said, you prove that you're not humble, and therefore everything else is true as well. That's a classic ISKCON, you know, manoeuvre. But I didn't do... lack of humility. Just see what we're talking about here. That proves everything else we've said about you. All right.
It created a lot of resentment for a lot of people. If that was how they were treated, they would have left his farm.
A lot of people did leave. Haven't you noticed? So, yeah. And Jiva Dharma, you know, again, this explanation of Atma Nikshepa, this fifth item, to the bhakta must offer himself wholesale to the Lord, knowing that he is ignorant of his own spiritual identity, that he is the Lord's property, and that his actions are the implementations of the desires of the Lord. This surrender of the self is also known as Atmanivedanam. You didn't know that, did you? That, you know, Atmanivedanam is one of those six items of surrender, Saranagati. So there's another connection. You know, it's that fifth item, which is known as, you know, Atma Nikshepa. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur confirms that that is also known as Atmanivedanam. You'd be surprised how many devotees don't know that, despite the fact that they've read those books many times. So I'll just read that again. So therefore, you know, this is this fifth item of surrender mentioned in Nectar of Instruction, those things favourable to devotional service. The bhakta must, Atmanikshipa, offer himself wholesale to the Lord, knowing that he is ignorant of his own spiritual identity, that he is the Lord's property, and that his actions are the implementations of the desires of the Lord. This surrender of the self is also known as Atmanivedana. And, you know, although one considers that the actions I am performing are the implementations of the Lord's desires, we should not become proud. Oh, I'm on a mission from God. Therefore, the sixth item is humility. To always feel meek and lowly. That's the sixth item. So the interesting thing here is that, you know, these things are favourable for devotional service. And they constitute Shraddha, and especially activities like Atmanivedana, Visvasa, or very mature Shraddha. So that, you know, is very favourable for very advanced devotional service. But it's there in the beginning. It's actually practiced from the beginning. There's another indication that even this Atmanivedana, you know, is to be cultivated from the very beginning, to what degree we can. But at the same time, although we're cultivating it from the very beginning as an item that's favourable to devotional service, we understand that done properly it's very rare, and done properly it's, you know, Atmanivedanam. And the done properly is when that Shraddha is a very mature, strong faith and conviction known as Vishvasa. Yeah. In the Bhagavad Gita, we see this verse here. Yesha, Chanti Gitam Papam, Jinanam Punyakamanam, Te Dvandva Moha Nimukta Vajanti Mam Dridhabrata. Persons who have acted piously in previous lives and in this life, whose sinful actions are completely eradicated, and who are free from the duality of delusion, engage themselves in my service with determination. Now, so there it's describing, you know, our pious activities and the eradication of sinful activities and sinful reactions help one to, in this process of surrendering to Krishna, you know, coming to this, you know, surrender or devotional service with determination, in, you know, a very strong conviction. There's a letter here by Prabhupada to Achyutananda in 1973. He says, as far as the results of one's good karma is concerned, good karma returns in that he is surrendering to Krishna. One comes to the point of surrender when one has actually amassed the result of multi-pious activities. This is stated in the Chaitanya Charitamrita as quoted from the Srimad Bhagavatam 10, 12, 11. This was the statement of Srila Sukadeva Goswami when he saw Krishna carrying the cowherd boys on his shoulders. To be in such a position could only be the result of the performance of many, many pious activities. They were putting their legs on the Supreme Personality of Godhead and were forgetting who he is. And Krishna is taking the feet of his devotee on himself. Krishna is so nice. The Mayavadis can never understand this exchange of devotional activities. The Prabhupada is talking generally about good karma. You know, good karma comes from karma kanda. Every time I do a hair cutting ceremony, that child and the parents are accumulating the results of punya karma, which in this life or a future life will result in surrender to Krishna. You know, they say that, you know, I think it was the Red Indians, they would say that, you know, in the old days, the chiefs, if something will benefit the children, even seven generations down, let's do it. Then it's good. So sometimes in a temple, because we have immediate concerns, you know, projects that need to be done now.
Yesterday.
Sometimes long-term projects of just cultivating people to become devotees in some lives to come. The taking is not very important. Don't waste your time. But we have to understand, where are all the people coming from who are now supporting this temple? They're coming from the devotees in their previous lives who cultivated them in pious activities. So we're getting the result. Okay? So, you know, it's not a very good philosophy. And of course, you know, the piety accrued from, you know, piety can be accrued from karma kanda, from jnana kanda, from astanga yoga, and from bhakti. And especially the piety from bhakti is very conducive. Others may take a little longer, but it is all purifying. And as Prabhupada mentions in the Gita, you want to read the Bhagavad Gita? It's all in here. Strangely enough. In Bhagavad Gita, chapter 18, which is called the perfection of renunciation, you know, leading, which means leading to surrender to Krishna. Krishna says that in text number 5 of the 18th chapter, he says, acts of sacrifice, charity, and penance are not to be given up, but should be performed. Indeed, sacrifice, charity, and penance purify even the great souls. Now, in regard here, in the purport, Prabhupada says, all prescribed sacrifices, and when we mean sacrifice, we're saying sacrifice, charity, and penance, are meant for achieving the Supreme Lord. Therefore, in the lower stages, they should not be given up. Lower stages means, you know, on the platform of karma, jnana, whatever. Similarly, charity is for the purification of the heart. If charity is given to suitable persons, as described previously, it leads one to advanced spiritual life. Okay? Every time someone offers in charity, even to material causes, they're actually becoming purified. There's some detachment going on in there. There's some sense of working for the benefit of others. And that purification of the heart, which is the accumulation of the pious activities, when it accumulates, it leads one to advanced spiritual life. It's not all. It's, you know, it's all part of the Vedic process. So this, so you know, very nice quote there by Prabhupada. Here. All of these activities where someone is performing penance, charity, some sacrifice, you know, some Vedic religious ceremony, even on sometimes on the material platform, if it's actually regulated in the scriptures and mentioned in the scriptures, it will lead one, Prabhupada says, good karma returns in that he is surrendering to Krishna. Ultimately, that's where it comes to. The purification, it means that good karma means that it's not so much that the karma causes surrender, but the karma causes purification of that. Good karma, good activities, purified activities mentioned in the Vedas, you know, sacrifice, charity, penances, those activities which should never be given up, they purify the heart, and when the heart becomes purified, it leads to surrender to Krishna. The purified heart can understand, gradually understands, we're a spirit soul. by understanding we're a spirit soul, then if I'm spiritual, yes, there can also be a supreme spirit, and then why not surrender, you know? So gradually it comes.
How does one?
What's that?
How does one
surrender?
Understand or measure or feel his purification. It seems to be so gradual that we don't notice it on his
day. Yeah, it can be imperceptible. But if one is doing something, you know, very nicely, under proper guidance, one will feel it immediately.
Like every time we hear Srimad Bhagavatam class, are we supposed to be feeling more purified than yesterday?
Yeah. I could say something funny and say it depends who's talking. No, but I won't. I did this mundane ceremony with this little baby the other day, and I had a garland. So every time someone smells Krishna's garland, they become purified, or they smell the flower, you know, or they offer their obeisances. I always get the little babies off their obeisances, and then they make, you know, rapid. They get mountains of piety. One basin, we read that, you know, didn't we, in Vandanam. You know, how much benefit or auspiciousness comes from offering one's obeisances. Practically one becomes fit to be a resident of Vaikuntha, right? You know, if one obeisances in your life, so much piety, we cannot even imagine. So, this little baby, the baby sort of woke up in a bit of a cranky mood, and actually was offering the first grains. So then I did a little ceremony. Baby's still a little bit, you know, cranky. And then gave the first grains. That sort of, you know, felt a little bit better. And then they passed me the baby, and I was holding the baby, a little boy, and he just got, you know, he just started smelling the garland, the Maha garland. And he just literally started having ecstatic symptoms. He's like, you know, his arms are going up, his legs are kicking, he's laughing, he's laughing. And he just went for ages. So I left the garland, you know, with the family. But, so, you know, sometimes the purification just kicks in straight away, even. I remember one time I was doing the ceremony. Again, the little baby was probably about 7 or 8 months old or something. And every time I said swaha, the baby cracked up laughing, like ecstatic laughing. A little 8-year-old, 8 months, you know, laughed and laughed. And I'd say swaha, and off he'd go again for the whole yajna, you know, every time I said it. And all the parents were cracking up. I could barely even chant the mantras, you know. This baby was having ecstatic symptoms, you know. It's funny. So, you know, it's especially piety from devotional service itself, Agata Sukriti, is very, very, very powerful. Yeah. You know, little babies sit quietly and they let you just cut their hair when, you know, I've seen them, you know, they don't let anyone touch them, they start crying, you know. They just, you can't go near them, they start crying, you can't put your head in their head, strangers can't even look at them, they start crying. And then they'll just sit there and let you cut all the hair off. You know, so that's, they're completely sattvic at that time. They're just completely sattvic. The Rajas Tamas is gone. You know, they're just sitting there in a sattvic, completely peaceful, completely purified, and they'll just sit there, cut your hair. Like a little yogi. So it can be slow, but especially piety from devotional service is most powerful. But any of it that's authorized does have an effect. Now, we were discussing here that how, you know, within the definition of Atmanapeksha or, you know, Atmanavedanam, you know, there is that sense that one offers oneself wholesale to the Lord, knowing that he is ignorant of his own spiritual identity. Right. So Prabhupada discusses that a little bit more. One of his lectures, one of my favourite lectures, given in Vrindavan, from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, is 1974. Prabhupada, even if one is a very great scholar, he has to abide by the decision of his spiritual master. Even one is a very great scholar, even if his spiritual master says that you are a great fool, he should accept it. This is called full surrender. For example, I'll give you a practical example. My Guru Maharaj, Bhaktisiddhanta, was a very great scholar. And his Guru Maharaj, from literary point of view, he could not even sign his name. Gaura Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur asked Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur to accept Gaura Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj as his spiritual master. That you go and you take your initiation from Gaura Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj. So he thought that I am a great scholar and I am son of a magistrate, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, a great Vaishnava. He'll be very much pleased to accept me. Of course, he was very much pleased, but in the beginning he refused. He refused. Of course, this is only a show. He was not proud. You know, Bhaktisiddhanta wasn't proud. Just to teach us, Bhakti Saraswati explained that I was a little proud. So I was thrice refused by my Guru Maharaj. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he's saying that Prabhupada, I was a little proud. Jai. And he, so... So three times he's refused. Although he was the only disciple. So Mahaprabhu's teaching, scholarship may help, but it is not necessary. Real necessity is that one should be humble and meek and follow the instruction of the spiritual master. This is real qualification. Because bhakti does not depend on any material qualification. Bhakti is a different subject matter. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained his position to Prakashananda Saraswati that my Guru Maharaj studied my character, he found me to be a great fool. Therefore, he advised me to chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So, Prabhupada goes on to say that he, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, presented himself like that to Prakashananda Saraswati. Presenting himself a fool means that the general mass of people are not fit for becoming very great Sanskrit scholars or very good philosopher or student of Vedanta. That is not possible in this age. In Kali Yuga, mass of people, they are almost sudra. Scholarship, study of Sanskrit, the Vedas, Puranas are meant for the Brahmanas. Not even for the Kshatriyas. What to speak of Vaishnava? But Krishna is so merciful, if you take shelter of Krishna's lotus feet, whatever you may be, it doesn't matter. You become purified. Simply, you have to become very sincere and serious. That is the only price. So, and then Krishna, Prabhupada talks a little bit about how one should be very greedy. Volume. For this Krishna consciousness. And then he goes on to say that this is the qualification. It doesn't matter what you are. You may be this or that. It doesn't matter. But this eagerness for service can be acquired by anyone simply by sincerity. So that is the price. Now, it's an important discussion. We're here, we're discussing a few things, but one leads to the other. We're talking about, full self-surrender. And part of that is thinking, why should I not fully surrender? I'm such a fool. I don't even know who I am. I have no idea, people say, people say I'm a pundit or a scholar. I have no idea who even I am. That's the sort of, pundit, scholar. Somehow, I have a spiritual identity in the spiritual world. I don't know who that is. I don't know what I look like. I don't know what my activities are. And yet I'm such a great scholar, So, why should I not surrender to Krishna? He knows who I am. And he can, help me at that. That's part of surrender. One who doesn't have that sense, how can they surrender? They're thinking, oh, I know so much. And then Prabhupada goes on to say that, one doesn't have to be a great scholar. One may think, oh, if you're a fool, how can you take to, become elevated in spiritual life? Oh, no, that is the qualification, surrender. And part of the qualification is surrender. You must think you're a fool. So then...
Which we are, whether we think it or not.
So what is the price for getting this, advanced state of spiritual life? If I'm a fool, how can I pay the price? You just have to want it really eagerly and you'll get it. That's the price. You don't have to be a scholar. It doesn't matter that you understand that you're a fool, you don't know your spiritual identity, you're in Kali Yuga, you think you're a Vedantist and a Sanskrit scholar, you're not a philosopher, But don't think you can't get this most advanced spiritual consciousness. What is the qualification? Do you really want it? You can have it. Yeah. And now, one may say, Prabhupada says, he says, I have got too much of that eagerness. Prabhupada's very funny. Oh, I've got so, too much. I've got so, yes. Oh, that I have. Yes, yeah, in abundance. So much eagerness for Krishna consciousness. No. Immediately Śrīla Rūpa Gosvāmī warns, na janma koti bi sukriti bi labhate. This eagerness to achieve Krishna's mercy, to approach the lotus feet of Krishna in this life, determination. Again, going back to that verse 7:28, that ability to serve Krishna with determination. I shall do anything. I shall sacrifice anything. This kind of determination is not easily obtained. Na janma koti sukriti bi. Sukriti means pious activity. Again, coming back to this topic. They're all connected. Without being pious, nobody can approach Krishna. Same point again. Krishna is not so cheap. you may show yourself that you have become a great sannyasi or Vaishnava or whatever it may be. But so long you will be engaged in sinful activities, there is no question of Krishna. That sinful activity means illicit sex and intoxication, gambling and meat eating. These are the pillars of sinful activities given. So one must be purified. To purify oneself from the resultant action of sinful activities, it takes many, many births. Janma koti bi sukriti. By counteracting the sinful activities, to engage oneself only in pious activities. So pious activities means brahmacharya, samol, damol, control the mind, control the senses, tatiksha, tolerance, the brahminical qualifications. But it is very difficult nowadays to practice. Tatpasya brahmacharina, chagina, samina, damina. These are the process of pious activities. But who is going? It is very difficult. Therefore, this Naam Sankirtan, if we offenselessly perform Naam Sankirtan, everything is done. See that nice connection between surrender, has been quoted several times that in that letter from Prabhupada, the result of pious activities leads to surrender to Krishna. If one surrenders to Krishna, you can understand that this person has performed so many pious activities in the previous life. Especially, you know, if, for instance, you know, if a person just immediately surrenders to Krishna, even without so much chanting or anything like that, there must be something in the past life. If it's not in the past life, then, and they're having difficulty surrendering or they want to come to that, Prabhupada is saying, you take the Naam Sankirtan. And if we offensively perform Naam Sankirtan, everything is done. In this life, the resultant accruement of piety is done. For those who may not have done any in their past life, they will get that in this life through the Naam Sankirtan, and then that will bring them to surrender as well. So, back to the other point. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu presented himself as a fool, number one, before his Guru Maharaj. He advised, Chaitanya's Guru advised, it will be difficult for you to study Vedanta Sutra and practice tapasya, brahmacharya, sama, dharma, tatiksha, you know, etc. It is possible for a human being, but in this Kali Yuga, all these functions to do is difficult. Therefore, the process is recommended, Vastade Parayana, Bhakti Yogina. And Prabhupada says, just like this mist, fog. As soon as the sun rises, all the fog immediately disseminated. Otherwise, it requires so much arrangement. Your railroad train cannot move. The ships in the sea cannot move. It's very difficult. Similarly, our sinful activities has covered our heart just like a fog. We cannot see anything. But by bhakti yoga, it can be immediately dissipated. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was thus advised by his spiritual master to chant Hare Krishna. So you remember in the sixth chapter, sixth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, we discussed this point that in Lama Bas, just defenseless, innocent, you know, chanting in the holy name, even once, it can, you know, dissipate the darkness and the mist, meaning that which is surrounding the heart, that covering in the heart, can very quickly be removed by the presence of the holy name, by the performance of bhakti yoga, and one accrues the results of pious activities very, very quickly. The results of pious activities, purification of the heart, And by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, that purification in the heart or the result of pious activities, you know, comes very quickly like that. And that manifests in one's ability to surrender, which initially is done by, you know, in a very significant way, accepting a spiritual master, and then by, as Prabhupada mentions, you know, being, when one's heart is purified, or in other words, one is only engaging in pious activities, not sinful activities, means that they're following the four regular principles and chanting Hare Krishna very sincerely. See, so it's all nicely tied in there, in these lectures of Prabhupada. Surrender. So we're, you know, here we're not just, you know, we're trying not to skim over anything really, but we're seeing, you know, what is surrender, what is not surrender, what is the result of surrender, what is the result of not surrendering, how can one become qualified to surrender, all these things that are being discussed very nicely. You know, like some very nice lectures by Prabhupada and different quotes that come our way by the grace of Krishna. So, these, you know, it's, you know, these, there are books like Sri Pratan by Narottam Das Thakur and Sri Prema Bhakti Chandrika, which discuss this lolam and surrender, you know, very, very extensively. And once a follower of Gaur Kishore Das Babaji asked, you know, what is the price one must pay to achieve love of God? And he said, 2 paisa. And he was surprised. 5 paisa must have gone up. He said, how is that possible? And Gaur Kishore Das Babaji replied, yes, you can understand everything about achieving love of Krishna by going to the marketplace and purchasing Srila Narottam Das Thakur's 2 books, Sri Prema Bhakti Chandrika and Sri Pratan. Because you can understand everything, because if you follow it, then you get love of God. 5 paisa. So, here's a nice little story from Gaur Kishore Das Babaji. And again, because we're discussing, oh yes, I have, you know, lolam, greed for Krishna, oh yes, I have so much of that. You know, I have that in abundance. But it's not such a cheap thing, because to have that, you know, one must have performed so many pious activities in their previous life and become free from simple activity. So it's not so cheap. And you know, you see that sometimes, you know, people come to the Krishna consciousness and they compete with you as to who is more surrendered. Have you seen that? You know, so you're just going about your usual service and there's a new devotee on the block. Johnny Bhakta Johnny come lately, and all of a sudden they want to compete you, compete, you know, oh yeah, I'm more surrendered than you. And you know, they do that in various ways. A lot of it's superficial, but you know, it's understood, you can't really, there is no competition. You either have the pious background, well, you're really chanting Hare Krishna very sincerely now, you know, strictly following them. But otherwise, you can't just sort of compete to surrender, you know. it's just not going to happen. You know, you're going to fall by it. So, anyway, it happens a lot. You see it a lot in Krishna consciousness. You know, I I've been around for nearly 40 years, and I get people who've been here for a couple of years doing it with me, you know. And I think to myself, you know, where were you when we were, doing door to door, day in, day out, sleeping on the floor, you know, having cold baths? I didn't see you around. Anyway, you've got a bit of catching up to do. So this pundit of Kulya, who wore only a loincloth as his dress, so he's come to visit Babaji, Pandit Babaji of Kulya. Although he was very respected, he was often involved in immoral behaviour, which was disturbing to Babaji Maharaj. As a result of this, one day Srila Guru Kishore Das Babaji arrived before Srila Bhaktivinoda Kaur at Svananda Kund, wearing a beautifully bordered dhoti and shawl. When Srila Bhaktivinoda Kaur, in his amazement, inquired from him as to why he had changed his dress. So, you know, Srila Guru Kishore Das Babaji has got this very, you know, beautifully bordered dhoti and shawl. You know, it'd be quite a scene. Srila Guru Kishore Das Babaji replied, "Oh, it is 1,000 times better to put on the dress of a well-to-do gentleman than to wear a loincloth and secretly perform immoral behaviour, not only in the countryside villages, but even in the Gaudiya Vaishnava's very famous holy places. What outrageous and what mischiefs are being carried on by these monkeys." He then quoted the verse, "It will not do just to vibrate the sounds, I am Gaura's, with your mouth. If Gaura's behaviour and deliberations are accepted, then the results will fructify. If you only wear tilak and worship Gaura to show off to other people while secretly acting immorally, Gaura detects your theft." And you get that. You get that sort of nonsense. So, you know, they want to imitate Guru Kishore Das Babaji. And Guru Kishore Das Babaji, you know, he better wear clothes like these and just, you know, not the Babaji dress. And then, you know, if you're going to go on with your cheap show of being a Vaishnava, you get no benefit from even wearing the clothes of the devotee and the tilak, and even chanting Gaura Gaura like that, but being, you know, a false pretender. You get nothing from that. Yeah, and you know, other you know, Srila Bhaktivinoda Kaur has some very nice songs about, and you know, series of songs about Saranagati, of which this, you know, the first principle is humility, and the second principle is this Atmanivedana, and you know, there are 9 different things he covers. So, you know, Prabhupada, this Atmanivedana, which we have understood is literally the 5th item of the 6 items favourable to devotional service. And in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, You know, it's mentioned as self-surrender. It means remembering that one's activities and desires are not independent. The devotee is completely dependent on Krishna and he acts and thinks as Krishna desires. Generally, Prabhupada, when he mentions this fifth item, he says it in a very simple way like this, which and this is like from the Chaitanya Charitamrita preface, to have no interest separate from the interest of the Lord. That's a very quick definition. To have no interest separate from the interest of the Lord. If someone says, what is this Atmanavedana? You get no interest other than what is Krishna's interest. That's a very, you know, very quick definition. Here's a definition from Haribhakti Kalpalatika. The attainment of the desired goal of the devotees is called Atmanavedanam. It is achieved when their bodies are fully surrendered to Krishna and they are totally devoid of the mentality of I and mine. No concept of I and mine, and they're fully surrendered to Krishna. Their bodies are fully surrendered to Krishna. Another very succinct definition. So, again, you know, just distinguishing Atmanavedanam and Saranagati. Atmanavedanam can generally mean that one is surrendering his self to Krishna, right? The body, the mind, the soul, and bodily attachments and possessions. Surrendering all that to Krishna. Saranagati can mean, you know, I am the property of the Lord. You know, there's nothing to surrender. It's already his. It's a, you know. It is a... Saranagati is considered a little bit more intimate in its connection. You know, in one sense, you know, Prabhupada mentioned one time that, you know, sometimes a pure devotee of the Lord may not necessarily offer something to Krishna because he already sees that it is Krishna's. You see? The Saranagati. There is so of course this you know it's Atmanavedanam, you know, it's one of these 64 items of mentioned in chapter 6 of the Nectar Devotion, and you know, one of the limbs of devotional service, 64 items of 64 limbs of devotional service, and in Jiva Dharma this item, Atmanavedanam, you know, he discusses it in more detail, that it indicates the devotional mood of complete self-surrender. Atma specifies the self, but not just the jiva soul, but Atma also indicates both the concept that I am this material body and the concept that this body and its possessions are mine. These two concepts one should Nivedana surrender to the lotus feet of Krishna. So I am this material body. So we surrender that concept. No, I'm not this material body. This material body is composed of Krishna's energy. And the soul is composed of Krishna's spiritual energy. Whatever I think to be my possession is also Krishna's energy. So we give up these conceptions. So giving up those conceptions is part of Atmanavedana. So then, further explain, the occupier of the material body is called Dehi. He is the jiva, indicated by aham, I, which is the sense of self, the ego. When the jiva incorrectly identifies himself as being the material body, this is known as Dehanishta Ahatma. This then leads to the second illusory concept under which the material body and everything related to the material body are claimed as one's own rightful possessions. This illusory concept is known as Dehanishta Mamata. The self, the material body and its possessions must be purified by being offered to Sri Krishna. One should give up the false material identity and illusory concepts of I and mine. Thus, in devotional life, one should assert oneself with the real I, the identity of being the servant of Sri Krishna, subsisting on Krishna Prasadam. In addition, one's body, mind, words and possessions are to be surrendered to Sri Krishna to be utilized as instruments for his service, thus purifying oneself of the illusory concept of mind. A devotee whose consciousness is thus immersed is on the platform of Atmanavedana. Now, one who accepts that Atmanavedana, that full surrender, and therefore everything is the possession, including oneself, of Krishna, then there are different transcendental feelings, moods of that surrendered soul, which are presented, you know, within the, you know, descriptions of Saranagati. See? So there's an intimate connection there for the Atmanavedana. The devotee who's come to the stage of Atmanavedana, then they may have different transcendental feelings and of reciprocation with the Lord on the platform of Saranagati, on the platform of a surrendered soul. That is Saranagati. So then, you know, Bhaktivinoda, the cause, and Sri Pratan, and so many, you know, they describe those, the mood of the surrendered soul in different ways. But one can't, you know, really experience those transcendental moods unless one first surrenders, you know. So, Atmanavedana, first come to that point of Atmanavedana, and then experience, you know, the platform of a surrendered soul, Saranagati. And then bearing in mind, as with Sakyam, Dasyam, here Atmanavedanam is accepted from the very beginning as something to cultivate from the very beginning, as something favourable for devotional service. From the very beginning one's devotional service. Still, properly done is very rare, and when it is, it's Atmanavedanam. And the devotee situated on that very elevated platform experiences, you know, transcendental reciprocation with the Lord in that mood of surrender. Saranagati. Okay, yeah. Now, um, So then, in the Nectar Devotion, chapter 11, Prabhupada says this, relating to Upanavedanam. He says, regarding complete self-surrender, there is a nice description in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam 29, 11th canto, chapter 29, text 34, where the Lord says, a person who has completely surrendered unto me and has completely given up all other activities is protected by me personally, both in this life and in the next. In other words, I wish to help him become more and more advanced in spiritual life. Such a person is to be understood as having already achieved Shashti, having equal opulences with the Supreme. So Krishna utilizes all his opulences to personally protect and guide the surrendered soul, and therefore he's considered to be having achieved the liberation of Shasti, one who has equal opulences with the Lord. It's nice, isn't it? It is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita that as soon as a person surrenders under the lotus feet of Krishna, Krishna takes charge of him and gives him a guarantee of protection from all sinful reactions. He also instructs from within so that the devotee may very quickly make advancement towards spiritual perfection. This self-surrender is called Atmanivedanam. So Bhagavad Gita, 1866, just surrender unto me. Krishna is asking for Atmanivedanam. And he says, one who does that, I protect him from all sinful reactions. And throughout the Gita, he's also describing that he acts from within to, you know, instruct him as well. So, you know, it's saying that a person attains Sarasti, which is a liberation, doesn't mean that they're not going to attain Bhava and Prema and Rasa. It's not stating that. Because sometimes people may not attain different higher levels of Bhava and Prema, they may accept one of the types of liberation and not achieve those higher levels. But, you know, it's a preliminary gift for Krishna, but it doesn't mean that they're not going to attain higher and higher levels of Prema and Bhava. Now, if we, you know, so that's Atmanivedana. Coming back to Atmanivedana in the sense of Saranagati, that I am the property of the Lord, right? Not that I'm surrendering myself to be the property of the Lord, already I'm the property of the Lord. Prabhupada then in the Nectar of Devotion, chapter 11, on this topic of Atmanivedana, he goes on to say this, giving the example of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So the first example we got from Srimad Bhagavatam 11th canto was Atmanivedanam, surrendering oneself. This one here is the Saranagati type of connection to Atmanivedanam. Full self-surrender therefore means not only surrendering oneself as spirit soul, but also surrendering one's mind and body to the service of the Lord. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has sung a nice song in this connection. While offering himself as a fully surrendered soul, he said, my mind, my household affairs, my body, whatever is in my possession, my dear Lord, I offer to you for your service. Now you can do with them as you like. You are the supreme possessor of everything. So if you like, you can kill me. Or if you like, you can give me protection. All authority belongs to you. I have nothing to claim as my own. They're already, you know, he's not surrendering to them. They're all Krishna's. So then that's a very famous, song, isn't it? Saranagati, which is an example of the Saranagati connection with Atmanivedana. And, you know, coming back to surrendering our body to the Lord, again, Nectar Devotion, chapter 11, there's this reference from Hari Bhakti Viveka regarding how one can offer his body in surrender. Therefore, the devotee says, "My dear Lord, as a souled animal has no need to think about his maintenance and sustenance, so, because I have given up my body and soul unto you, I am no longer concerned with my maintenance and sustenance." In other words, one should not bother about his personal or family maintenance or sustenance. If one is actually surrendered in body and soul, he should always remember that his only concern is to be engaged in the service of the Lord. So that's how one, can practice Atmanivedana. If I've given my body to the Lord, so it's His, then why am I bothering? I don't need to personally maintain this body and, or even family maintenance. I just have to do my service to the Lord. If Krishna wants me to do this particular service, I'll do that particular service. And if he's getting me to do this service, then, you know, because he's taking care of the maintenance of everything else that needs to be done, he wants me to do this instead. You know, because for a devotee, just like one time Prabhupada was in Vrindavan, he was given darshan to some of his disciples, you know, especially some of the leading disciples, to come into his room and have a chat. He noticed that some of the, you know, leading disciples didn't come in. He says, "Oh, you know, where is so-and-so?" "Oh, Prabhupada, they're cleansing the temple room." Prabhupada said, "I can pay someone to do that, but I can't pay someone to preach. They should come and hear from the spiritual master and preach." See? So, you know, Krishna may say, "I want you to preach. I can arrange for you to maintain your body and your family, but it's not that easy to get someone to preach." So, you know, "I'd rather you preach. I'll take care of the other. That's easy. Getting trained up preachers, you know, that's, you know, more rare. I'll look after those other things. That's simple. Getting someone to preach nice." So, you know, it's like that. Krishna said, "You're my servant. I've got some important things for you to do. Preach, do this, do that. That I can't get too many people to do. I'll look after the other things. I can get so many people, you know." Okay. Let us do the important things. And Krishna says the same in the Gita. There is no one more dear to me than one who preaches this, you know, message in the Gita. One should understand. So then we preach. He's maintaining all the living entities within the universe, but he's not going to maintain the preacher. They want to be looked after, the little ants, the bull ants that bite everyone, the mosquitoes that keep stinging. Krishna's looking after them. The flies that buzz around here, he's looking after them. But not me, because I'm preaching. I'm going to get away with that. So anyway. Yeah. Therefore, and now we said, who, you know, we've got examples of Atmanivedanam. Who are they? Bali Maharaj. Who's an example of pure Atmanivedanam. And Ambarish, who's an example of Atmanivedanam in the mood of
using all his senses.
Dasya. So in the mood of Dasya Ras and Atmanivedanam in the mood of conjugal would be Rukmini. Yeah. See? So Bali Maharaj. Did you come last week? You might have missed it. Were you here last week? Yeah, okay. Might have dozed off. But Bali Maharaj is, you know, we usually think of as the Atmanivedanam in its pure sense of representing just Atmanivedanam, but representing Atmanivedanam and Dasyaras would be Ambarish or Dasyarati, and representing conjugal Rati. Or Rasa and Atmanivedanam would be Rukmini. So therefore, following on from what we've said, that someone is just engaging in the service of the Lord, we have the example of Maharaj and Ambarish. So what was, you know, there's that very famous prayer. What did he say? Yes, I'll be, you know, working very hard to make myself a nice big home, and you know, my legs will be, you know, going to the office. No, he didn't. Am I? No. He said, Maharaj Ambarish always engaged in his mind in taking shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna. His words in describing the spiritual world and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. His hands in cleansing and washing the Lord's temple. His ears in hearing topics about the Supreme Lord. His eyes in seeing the deity of Sri Krishna in the temple. His body in touching the lotus feet of the Vaishnavas and embracing them. His nostrils in smelling the aroma of tulasi leaves offered to Krishna's lotus feet. His tongue in tasting Vishadam, food offered to Krishna. His legs in going to places of pilgrimage like Vrindavan and Mathura, or the Lord's temple. And his head in touching the lotus feet of the Lord and offering him prayers. Thus, Maharaj Ambarish desired only to serve the Lord faithfully. In this way, he engaged his senses and his transcendental loving propensity completely in the Lord's service. Right, so that's when we talk about, well, if the Lord's maintaining all the other things, then let me do all these things. We heard that nice quote by in Nectar Devotion saying that, you know, one who is engaged in Atmanivedanam, the Lord protects them and inspires them from within and like that, and they attain sasti. Prabhupada, in a lecture in LA 1972, he said this. So in this way, Bali Maharaj surrendered everything. He his personal property and the personal body, everything dedicated to Krishna, he became a Mahajan. So by Atmanivedanam, he became a Mahajan. So Bali Maharaj dedicated Atmanivedanam everything, his property, his personal body, everything. So in exchange, Vamana, Lord Vamana, became his doorkeeper. So Vamanadeva said, "My dear Bali Maharaj, you are so great a devotee, so in return for your service, I shall remain always your doorkeeper. So offering everything to Krishna, nobody is loser, they are gainer, the best gainer. Because after all, everything belongs to Krishna." See? So this concept that Krishna will maintain me, Krishna will protect me. Here, we even get a greater... Not only is Krishna going to maintain us and our family, he's becoming the doorkeeper. That's more than, you know, that's very, very intimate. I think we pretty much covered everything. And last week we covered about the rarity of devotional service and everything. Let's just one or two quotes and we'll finish up. Here is a room conversation in Perth, 1975. This is from the VTE Bhakti Shastri quote, so you may remember this one well. Carol, talking to Prabhupada, "In bhakti way of doing things, this emotion and love are very closely entwined, aren't they?" "Yes, Prabhupada, yes. That is higher stage, not in the beginning. In the beginning, devotion means I should be devoted to you. Why should I be devoted to you unless you are worthy? Just like Krishna says, you surrender unto me. Unless I understand that Krishna is worth my surrendering, he is worthy, why shall I surrender to Krishna? If I demand immediately you have to come, that you surrender, would you do like that?" Carol, "To surrender? Prabhupada, if I ask that you surrender, I'm meeting you for the first time, would you surrender? Would you like to surrender?" Carol, "Yes." Prabhupada, "I don't think so." And he laughs. Carol, "To want to and do it is different." Prabhupada, "No, unless you are fully aware of my abilities, qualities, why should you surrender? So before surrendering, one has to study the person where he's going to surrender, then he surrenders, that is real surrender. And blindly surrender, that will not stay. So our first business is to surrender to God, therefore we must know what is God, then you must surrender." And that's why Atmanivedanam is within the category of the six things which are favourable to the devotional service, because one begins the process of, you know, like Carol, "Oh yeah, I'll surrender." But, you know, I was discussing the other day with that, you know, when Prabhupada left, many of his disciples did leave. And, you know, some senior devotees have commented that, you know, they were following Prabhupada. Whatever Prabhupada said, it was not necessarily they fully understood Krishna. And therefore, it was hard for them to surrender to Krishna, to, you know, fully after Prabhupada had left, in one sense. So, you know, it's very important. So, the process of surrender, if that understanding of Krishna is not there, one may sometimes follow a charismatic person who's present, but when they're not there, you know, everything collapses. So, you know, to surrender unto Krishna and stay fully surrendered, one has... So Atmanivedanam is cultivated from the very beginning. I cultivate my Atmanivedanam by trying to understand who is this Krishna that I am surrendering to. And as we understand Krishna, it increases our ability to surrender. So that's actually developing up in the Vedanam, post-Stanam Krishna. So therefore, from the very beginning, you know, it's happening. But you can't be fully on that platform. All right. Well, let's finish here with okay. Last quote from Hari Bhakti Kalpalatika. Full surrender is not attained by other processes of sadhana, and even the best of yogis rarely attain it. Full surrender is known as supreme transcendental devotional service, and it is the state of liberation for those who are living in the material world. So he's saying full surrender is known as the supreme transcendental devotional service, and it is the state of liberation for those who are living in the material world, up in the Vedanam. So they're in the material world, and they're liberated by, although they're in the material world, they've given up the sense of I and mine. And to do that, they're situated in a very elevated devotional service. Atmanivedita is not attained by following the instructions of the spiritual master or by studying the scriptures. The devotees simply have to realize full surrender, which is self-manifested within their hearts. A fully surrendered soul does not think about, work for, or search after his own personal benefit. He fully surrenders his mind to the super soul, Sri Hari, and constantly enjoys in the ocean of his own spiritual happiness. The devotees become free from the ocean of material existence when they drown themselves in the unlimited nectarian ocean of Sri Hari. From that time, they do not care about the happiness derived from merging into the Brahman effulgence, nor following the rules and regulations of the Vedas. Rather, everywhere they look, they perceive only Sri Krishna, who is the personification of complete bliss. Such persons may reside in one place or wander here and there out of their own free will. Since they are fully satisfied in knowledge of the super soul, Sri Hari, they wander about, detached, inert, and without companions. Those who naturally chant the holy names and characteristics of Sri Hari become fully satisfied due to attaining their desired goal. It appears that their incessant flow of spiritual happiness is forcefully ejected from their bodies on the pretext of laughing, and is sweated from their bodies on the pretext of body hair standing on end. All right, so there we go. We have, I'll skip about 30 pages and we'll call it quits. Anyway, I'll just see if I'm trying to get to the end of my notes. There's a lot there, but we'll leave it there. Yeah, there's another 100 pages or so. But
100 pages?
Oh, there's probably another 100 pages we didn't get through. But at least we made a start. I got some nice lectures, and you know, it's such a nice discussion. Let's see. Yeah. Oh, goodness. Yeah. Just goes on and on. I mean, this document here, which basically details the, you know, the nine processes of devotional service, this is 270 pages long. And we got up to about 100 and something. So we did well. All right, let's leave it there. Any questions? Comments? So we shall see you every now and then, but especially for class, we'll start sometime end of January, early February, something. I'll set a date at some stage. Yeah. And,
no class rest of the year?
What's that?
No class rest of the year?
No. We'll finish up. It'll allow me to do some of the things I need to do to tidy up from last year's Bhakti Vaibhava and preparations and so many different things that I need to still do.
So next class in January?
Yeah, I'll set a date. It may be late January or early February. I'll set a date. Sometimes I like to, you know, start, just get everyone coming along, get everyone some reading things, and even if the following week there's some interruption, it could be Rathiatra or something, but, you know, we might meet again later, but just to somehow get things started, get it rolling, and then, you know, we might... give some handouts, you know, papers, slokas, essay assignments, you know, criteria for doing the course, and things like that. And, you know, give people some things to read up to, and then we might, you know, if there might be something like the Rathiatra or something, we might start maybe the week before Rathiatra, something like that. I think Rathiatra is on the 11th of February, so we may start the week before just to get things started. Then gives everyone time to read up to what we're supposed to do in the next class, a couple of weeks.
Rathiatra is 11th February?
Yeah.
Normally it is 2 weeks after the Snanyatra,
right?
No.
It's always in February. All right then. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.